Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we thank you. We thank you for your word that has come to us out of the ages. A word filled with hope and promise. A word of grace and peace. A word of hope. Help us to believe the truth that it offers. And give us the minds and the hearts to understand it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A defendant was on trial for murder. And there was strong evidence indicating his guilt. But there was no court. In the defense's closing statement, the lawyer knew that his client probably would be convicted, decided to resort to a trick. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I have a surprise for you all, the lawyer said as he looked at his watch. Within 1 minute, the person presumed dead in this case will walk into this courtroom. And he looked towards the courtroom door. The jurors, somewhat stunned, all looked on eagerly. A minute passed. Nothing happened. Finally, the lawyer said, "Actually, I made up the previous statement. But you all look with anticipation. Therefore, I put to you that you have reasonable doubt in this case as to whether anyone was killed and insist that you return a verdict of not guilty." Well, the jury was clearly confused and retired to deliberate. A few minutes later, the jury returned and pronounced a verdict of guilty. "But how?" inquired the lawyer. "You must have had some doubt. I saw all of you stare at the door." And the jury foreman replied, "Oh, we looked, but your client didn't." Your client didn't. Doubts. We all have doubts. And in many ways, today's Matthew passage is about doubts. Doubts about whether that baby that we're looking forward to celebrating the birth of really was Emmanuel, God with us. It's about the doubts that we have that Jesus really said and did the things that we read about in the Bible that he said and did as an adult. And this is where we find John the Baptist in our passage today, having these doubts. And let's get the context of the story. John is in prison because he challenged Herod, because Herod had divorced his own wife and then taken his brother's wife to be his wife. So John, Herod didn't like that, so John was in prison. And Jesus then steps into the void left by John's imprisonment, and his ministry begins to take off. John was the one who had declared shortly after Jesus was baptized that Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And yet, he hears the things that Jesus is saying and doing, and begins to have doubts. Has Jesus taken leave of his senses? Has he fallen off the path that he and John were walking? John said, spoke to people of repentance, and he baptized people with water, but he said, "The one coming after me is more powerful than I am and will baptize you with fire. Purifying fire. Judgment." But that's not what he's hearing about Jesus and his ministry. So he begins having doubts. Maybe he was wrong about Jesus. So John sends some of his followers to Jesus to say, are you really who I thought you were? Or should we look for another? And I can relate to John's question. And I think if we think about it, most of you could too. When we have expectations about how someone should be, and they are not that, we begin to have doubts about them. Jesus tells the disciples, go tell John what you see. The blind receive the sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. I can almost hear Jesus saying to John through his disciples, now you have doubts? But he doesn't. And Jesus believes in John. That's the blessed is he who takes no offense from me. The second half of our passage from Matthew, Jesus holds John up, saying John really is who he said he was. He is a prophet. And he's telling those people that might have heard this little interplay between John's disciples and Jesus that John is none other than the one mentioned in the Hebrew Scriptures that will prepare the way of the Messiah, the Lord. Reverend Peter Wood, a pastor in South Africa, writes about this interplay between John and Jesus, as it were. Despite how difficult and embarrassing this all looks for John the Baptizer, I have to say that I can completely identify with his doubts and his questioning of Jesus. Just like John, I've often proclaimed Jesus publicly in terms that I realize with hindsight have been my projections onto Jesus rather than who Jesus really is in himself. That is problematic enough. But what is plain humiliating is when I have proclaimed the Jesus of my projected expectations and he then goes off north and doesn't do what I told people he would. For example, I really do not want to have Jesus as my friend and master throughout my life. I want Jesus to comfort and heal and console me in my dark nights of fear and anxiety. I also want Jesus to deal with the evil of the world, to remove the corruption, the crime, and the chaos that so describes life in the 21st century. What I don't like, though, is that Jesus always brings his ragtag friends with him into my life. I don't like how he makes me question my lifestyle, my use and abuse of resources, and I especially don't like how he's always pointing me to the people I really don't want to see. The blind, the lame, the lepers, and those ubiquitous poor. And just when I'm about to whine to Jesus that this isn't what I really signed up for, nor I wanted into my life, he adds, and blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. That's just not fair. That's just what John was doing. He had been offended that Jesus wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing, according to John. I've often said that when Jesus comes back, many people today, Christians included, would not recognize him, or perhaps even want him. And I must admit that there are times that I'm not sure I would either. Because he would challenge my sensibilities as to what a disciple and what a Messiah should be. And that would be embarrassing. And I don't like to be embarrassed. The truth is, Jesus is for the homeless. That homeless person I passed by on the streets, Jesus is for those people sleeping under the bridges that I don't see when I'm driving around Newark. Jesus is for people crowding the soup kitchens and food pantries. Jesus is the person who comes to the church looking for help to buy food. I don't want those people intruding in my life and my plans. You know, at Christmas, we talk about hope. The hope that we want to see and experience in our lives. But it comes with a cost. Do we now have doubts because of that cost? I hope not, because that's the wonder of God's grace. God celebrates our small works of discipleship. Jesus, in spite of John's doubts, lifted him up and celebrated his place as the one who prepares the way. And unlike our opening story, the defendant did not look. But John did look. He sent his disciples to Jesus. Are you the one? He had a job to do, John did. And he did it. What job do we have that needs to be done? Last week, I asked you to daydream about what God's vision would be for you. Can you take steps to make a portion of that vision a reality? Have you? Abraham Peter Wood writes, "This human Jesus, the Son of Man, who always goes to where the pain is and not where the power or pleasure is, will be with me too in the moments of my disillusionment. When he feels so far away, he might as well be on the other side of the country or on the other side of the universe. When all I have expected, dreamt, and even demanded from being faithful to God's call in my life has not played out according to my scripted plans, when illusions are exposed and disillusioned, when I find myself in prison and losing my head and mind, how wonderful to know that Jesus will still be compassionate while still being challenging. When we doubt, it's not a sign of lack of faith, but it could be just a sign that the Messiah is not what we expected. And that's okay. Blessed is he or she who takes no offense at me. God is calling us to things that we did not believe God would call us to. Rather than reject it, let's reflect on it. Let's see where God is leading us. And perhaps we will see the blind receiving their sight, the lame walking, the lepers cleansed, the deaf hearing, the dead being raised, the poor having good news brought to them. Maybe we'll see that. If we allow God and Jesus to be who they are and not what we expect. May God open our eyes to God's vision of the Messiah. Amen.